Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here, and sorry that I wasn't in yesterday. Had a little cold there. Have some leftovers of that today. But joining me today, my good friend and colleague, Dr. Dave Stoop. Dave, good to see you.
Hey, good to see you, Steve.
And we have a special guest, and he's well known to those around the Minrith Meyer New Life world. In fact, he used to be the medical director of the Minrith Meyer Clinic with Dr. Dave Stoop and Henry Cloud and John Townsend. And it is Dr. Tom Okamoto. Dr. Okamoto, welcome to New Life Live.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be here.
Well, as a psychiatrist, you know, I know a lot of folks think that it's always amazing that a psychiatrist is also a believing Christian, but you are that, and you say that there are actually quite a few Christian psychiatrists around.
Yeah, times are changing a bit, and from the psychiatry end, there's a lot of information that spirituality and church-going believers actually have a leg up on mental illness a little bit. There's data saying that it's very helpful for recovery and relief of symptoms. So the field is warming up and partnering with us now.
Well, a lot of folks started listening when the only people that you ever heard were two psychiatrists, Frank Minrith and Paul Meyer. And so we've had other psychiatrists on, and, you know, Dr. Daniel Amen, big, huge, popular psychiatrist, Christian psychiatrist that's on with us from time to time. Mm-hmm. So we're glad to have you here today. Now, if you want to join us, we're going to be in the studio for 3 solid hours. We're not going to skip one. And the phone number is this, 1-800-229-3000. And I already have a phone call up. I'm going to go right there. Why mess around? Let's just do it. We're going to talk with Lisa from Birmingham, Alabama. She watches us on the NRB television network. Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Thank you. How are y'all?
We're doing all right. How can we help you today?
I have a really layered question. Because it's 20-something years in the making of it. Anyway, I grew up in a house where stepfather abused my mom. Not me so much, maybe a couple of times, but it was pretty regular with mom. I used to call 911 on them. They had a nickname for him on the radar because it was so often, and they would even fight when I had sleepovers, so I got the reputation of you can't go over to that house with my friend. So anyway, through this whole time, I tried to show forgiveness. And as an adult, I'm thinking about maybe a decade ago having a phone conversation with my stepfather because she'd moved out. They were separated. He moved back in at some point, I think. Now he's out again, but anyway, just encouraging him, telling him I was angry, but telling him that the Holy Spirit can empower you to change. We flash forward 10 more years, and at this point, he had gotten baptized. He had started to be a little kinder to me. I don't know if he hits my mom anymore, but I know he still talks to her very ugly. And like I said, they don't live together. They can't live together at this point.
Okay.
And
I'll tell you what, let me just hold you right there. Let me hold you right there, and we'll hear the rest of this and try to give you some help. So many folks dealing with the residue of abuse from a childhood that's never been resolved. We'll take care of that right after this.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Tom Okamoto, Dr. Dave Stoop. And right now we are talking with Lisa. And Lisa was a couple of times abused by her stepfather. Her mother was abused by the stepfather regularly. He accepted Christ. Now, they're not living together. So, Lisa, you have in your past a stepdad that was abusive to your mom, to you. What's the question for us? How can we help you now as an adult?
Well, navigating boundaries and keeping drama out of my household in a way that is not self-righteous and is compassionate. Mm-hmm. Because he and I, he started to be a little bit kinder to me, and I took that, like a dog begging for a bone, because I'd wanted that forever.
Yeah.
And we would text back and forth.
Okay, how could we help you, though, now? What is the question given where things are right now? How could we help?
I want to make sure that in my boundaries with him, I'm not sinning. Because I don't see a turnaround there.
Okay. So when he accepted Christ, maybe a little bit of change, but you don't see that. So really, it sounds like you're wanting to know, how do I appropriately have a relationship with someone who still appears to be an abusive or at least a very angry person? Dave, why don't you get us started off on this? What do you think, Dave?
Well, Lisa, those are hard patterns to change in your stepfather, and so you'll see the continuation of the patterns even though he's accepted Christ into his life. There's a discipleship process that follows salvation that would deal with that, but whether he's involved in that or not is a different question. You don't sin by having healthy boundaries with somebody like that. That's what God wants you to do, and that's the best thing you can do for his sake as well, is to have healthy boundaries that doesn't allow him to continue the patterns of the past.
A lot of
people. It's easy for me to say that he can't come to my house and that I really don't want that much to do with him at this point anymore, but it's hard that my mom still loves him, even though they're separated.
But they can't.
They still
they
go
can't
out
live
on
together.
Dates. They still stay together when they want to see each other. And so, with birthday parties and stuff, it's like open year. Am I going to invite him? Am I not going to invite him? If I don't invite him, I'm self-righteous and unforgiving. If I do invite him, usually it causes stress on the family.
Well, let's stop right there. There's your problem. See, it isn't that you're self-righteous and unforgiving. You just are dealing with reality if you don't invite him. Dr. Okamoto, what are you thinking here when you hear this?
Well, I've had some experience, too, with recovery and addictions. And when we do things like boundaries, and try to help people and not enable them, we always try to set the stage of, okay, this boundary is in place for a purpose, and the boundary can be in control if there's a recovery process happening, then the boundaries can be changed. So you can give the other person a balance of, if you want the relationship to progress, these are the conditions that are healthy and scriptural, and that can sort of push them towards a healthy process.
Yeah, the boundary is designed to help move him in the right direction, but he may resist that, he may not cooperate with it, and you are perfectly legitimate in setting that boundary and saying that you can come if this is what happens, and if you don't follow the rules, then we won't invite you the next time.
Well, in my mind, it's a matter of being very specific. You don't want to not invite somebody or set a boundary just because of a feeling. But what you'd want to say is, you know, the last time that we were together, here's what happened. And that wasn't acceptable. And so this is why I'm not inviting this person. It's very specific. It didn't work out. It wasn't something that was good for me or the other people that were there. So there's no indication that there's been any change, no remorse, no regret over what happened the previous time. In fact, there's been no even acknowledgement of abuse of my mother or abuse of me as a child. So for those reasons, the boundary is in place. If those things are ever addressed and changed, then now I don't have a reason to have a boundary anymore. I think the difficulty comes when we're not specific and when we're not able to just, you know, lay it down 1, 2, 3. Here are the reasons that being in the presence of this person is a destructive time, whether it's for me or my mother or somebody else. And when we're that specific, then I think we kind of feel secure in setting the boundary, setting the limit on that person. We talk about this in Take Your Life Back. I'll send you a copy of that. But I would just challenge anybody to think through, if there's somebody in your life that you need to set a boundary with, why? Is there something specific? Or is it an overreaction to them? Could be something that happened 20 years ago that you've never talked about, and maybe that's the key, is you bring that up and you say, you know what, I don't feel comfortable as long as we're not addressing this thing that happened or has been happening. So, but this thing about being uncaring or unkind and self-righteous, I think Satan's pretty excited to get you to feel ashamed of that and like you're not entitled to a limit.
And also feeling like I haven't forgiven because I'm wanting to set a boundary. Forgiveness is something that you do for yourself. It doesn't take effect as reconciliation unless the other person enters into the process with you.
Right. And we don't forget. We forgive, but we don't forget. If you forget, then you're setting yourself up for another problem. All right. I'm really glad you called. I'm going to send Take Your Life Back to you. I hope that that is going to be a blessing to you. Let's go to KKHT, Houston, Texas. Celine is on the line, and glad she is. Hi there. How you doing?
Hello.
Hi, Celine. Hi.
Oh, hi. Sorry. I wasn't ready for that. Hi, Celine, I just wanted to find out. I have a 5-year-old daughter who just I can't seem to relate to anymore. It's like she just tries to get me mad. And it's very intentional. And my husband and I notice that if he tells her to do something, she's fine with it. But if I tell her, she like tries to see how long it will take before I, you know, like blow up. And I'm just wondering, is that something I need to worry about? Or is she just being a 5-year-old?
Well, Dr. Okamoto, what do you think? Is that a typical 5-year-old, or is that something to worry about?
It's interesting how she's communicating the anger and how you get the picture. She's testing you. And kids have lots of different reasons for anger, and anger is a very important emotion. And Jesus experienced anger too, and it was not sinning. But there are a lot of reasons. And if you can pick up a dynamic of why she's doing it or there's a purpose to it, then – Yeah, she's communicating, she's testing, she's wanting to hear your answer and your direction of what are you going to do about this? And that's an opportunity to be very proactive as a parent and teach her and guide her. This is what parents do.
Mm-hmm. We often forget that, you mentioned, Tom, the purposeness of that anger. There's a reason why. And we as parents often don't try to find out what that reason is, or we react to it and never get at the core of it. I would talk with your husband about what he sees you doing or not doing that could be contributing to her anger, and see what you can do differently just to test her instead of letting her test you, as Tom said.
Yeah, and if you show her what parents do in a godly way, then you give her that response for the rest of her life, that this is what good authority does.
What if we just assume that she's saying to you, I need something that I'm not getting? And it's not a very pleasant way for her to say it, but she doesn't know how to say it any other way. So we'd have to ask, well, what is it that she might not be getting? Well, you'd say, is she getting enough food? Well, I assume that she is. Is she getting enough sleep? And I assume that she is. But here's a question. How much time are you holding her? As a five-year-old, you can start to slip away from that nurturing, holding time where you're looking eyeball to eyeball, downloading love into that little five-year-old soul, especially if she's got this anger and she's set up this kind of dynamic that she's like against you. She's not against you. She just needs something from you. And I would challenge you to look at adding more time, you holding her in your lap, talking to her, eyeball to eyeball, and then reading to her, listening to her. I would try to up that time by 30 minutes a day and see if that could be what she's actually asking for. And I do think it's really good advice to ask your husband, what does he think that she might be needing? What does she think? What does he think that is at the heart of the division here? I would not accept this as normal five-year-old childhood behavior. I would see it as a desperate plea for something that isn't there. So I'll just ask you a question. What do you think about adding more holding time to your time with her?
I probably will have to figure out how to do that because, I mean, I work during the day and then you come home and the school routine, so it's the routine mode that now we are back to. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's something I have to, like, find time and, like, put it in there because, you know, like, have 2 hours before they have to go to bed when I get home and,
yeah,
you know, homework and all that. So now maybe... Oh, and she usually wants to sleep in my bed, and I usually tell her, no, go sleep in your own bed. Should I stop doing that for now and just let her, you know, be there?
Well, that's telling you that she needs more of you, Celine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let your husband handle the homework, and you try to be more the...
I'm sorry?
Let your husband handle the homework issues, and you try to be more nurturing and see what happens.
And I would say this, okay. when you get home, it would be better that they went to bed 2.5 hours later versus 2 hours if when you got home you just didn't do anything but pick her up and spend about 30 minutes trying to connect with her heart. I think you're going to see a change here. Now, I could have thrown this out there, and you could have said, oh, you know, every day, you know, I'm holding this kind of thing. But since that isn't the case, I think you got a really good chance of meeting this need simply by holding her eyeball-to-eyeball contact. This is something my wife, I never saw this before until I saw my wife with our children. And it was, she just says, that's how you download love at every level to a child. And you've just got to do it. And when you don't, it just produces a disconnection so early on, and I think it gets reproduced later in life. So, Dr. Okamoto, well, anything you want to add here?
I think that's a great approach, especially age five. It's like there's lots of things happening, especially for working moms. It's tough to do all of that, be super mom, and yeah. know exactly what's in her in your daughter's mind. But for a five-year-old, they're dealing with a lot of stresses going back to school and dealing with maybe first grade or whatever it might be. They are developmentally going through a lot of stress. So I think that holding thing is a great idea.
Okay. And what a great message when you say to her, no matter what, I have time for you. Yeah, go ahead.
In a related sense, she also tends to react really fast. Like if she's like drawing something and she doesn't get it right, she like gets like super frustrated. Like so that's her mm-hmm. first reaction. Like I keep telling her, don't worry, take time out, and you know, when you're ready to try again, you can do it again. But she really gets like frustrated really fast. And I don't know what to do with that either.
That's the anger, I think, that is just coming out in behavior.
I think it's all part of the same thing there. And I'm gonna send you How We Love Our Kids. That's all about connecting and holding. I think you'll like that. We'll be back after this.
I had a lot of trauma in my childhood that I realize I haven't dealt with, and it's affected our marriage just because I don't open up about it.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Dallas September 21st to the 23rd.
I'm very glad we came, and I know for me personally, I learned a lot about myself.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
It's definitely given me some major tools to work on myself and our marriage.
Honestly, this is the first time I've ever felt hope that I could actually break the cycle.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be his.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. 1-800-229-3000. If you want to join us on the program, we're so happy to have Dr. Tom Okamoto on the program, a psychiatrist, a Christian psychiatrist. He's been around Menrith Meyer New Life for a very, very long time. And there's going to be a conference on 27th of October, Church and Depression. He'll be there. And it really is an amazing thing to see churches start to address psychological problems and psychiatric issues when there was a time when everybody just thought all you needed was a verse. But we're delighted to have you with us here, Dr. Okamoto, and we're also glad to have Dr. Larry Sonnenberg in the studio here to talk about our summer's end finances. And Larry, so take it from there.
Okay. Well, you know, summer has been tough, and I kind of took some medicine yesterday, and I got to get back to the phones. Part of what I do is I call folks and thank them for giving, get to know them a little bit, encourage them. And when I make those calls, Steve, it's just amazing what this radio program means. And I think, you know, I don't know if Becky shared one with you today in devotions.
Yeah, share that. That was amazing.
Well, go ahead.
I mean, I remember it. The lady called. She was channel surfing and just lands on us.
Yeah.
And John Townsend was on. And then they went to the intimacy intensive, the marriage intensive, reconnected, recommitted their life to Christ. And, you know, now she's saying that it's just changed everything.
And the things she learned at that workshop helped her reconnect with her son as well.
Yeah, and it was, and if we weren't on radio, she would have never stumbled onto us, would have never found this part of the Christian community there. So, yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful testimony.
You know, there was a lady I talked to yesterday, and she came across, a friend told her about the program, and she listened. They came to our workshop. It's changed everything. He was alcoholic. She's been doing AA, she's been doing Al-Anon, but the program makes such a difference. And that's the reason we come to you seeking support. We want to keep this going. We don't want to keep it going just for our sake. It's for the sake of the people who are listening that don't have anywhere else to go, and they come across us and they find hope and help. And we need you to support us two ways. We need gifts, individual gifts, $5, $50, $500, $5,000, whatever you can give. Deeply appreciated. We need Club New Life members, monthly givers, who will just commit to making a gift every month. And if you would call 800 New Life, they'll tell you about some great benefits for joining Club New Life.
But, yeah. And most people know you get the Arterburn Wellness Series, 8 books on understanding and loving people with things like narcissism, alcohol and drug addiction, sexual addiction. But also, you know, you have access to this wonderful video library. We just added some new videos on criticism, on patience, building peace, making punctuality work for you, anxiety, medication, all that. The only way you get those is to become a part of Club New Life. So please join if you possibly can. Larry, anything else you want to say?
No, back to the calls. It's good.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay, let's go to Joe. Washington, D.C. is where he's calling from. Hi, Joe. Welcome to New Life.
Hello.
How's it going? Yeah, hi, Joe. How's it going?
Hi, how you doing? I want to thank you for taking my call, first of all.
Sure.
I was calling because I go to a Spanish word. I'm from a Hispanic background, and I've been married for over 18 years. I have no children with my wife, and going back to 2007, my wife, you know, she had depression, anxiety, all kinds of things. She ended up going to a psychiatrist. She was diagnosed with psychosis. So this was a long-term thing, you know, all the way up to 2013. When the Lord found us, we were both into, you know, all kinds of medication that we were being prescribed. I was, you know, diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. She was diagnosed with all kinds of symptoms. Thing is, we started going to, you know, church, and just so you understand, we come from an apostolic church. There's no reconciliation once you're baptized. That's it. You know, there's no going back kind of thing. So there's a lot of pressure. We are currently not baptized because there's a process according to church. But the reason I bring this up is because I'm really hoping that she goes see a psychologist, psychiatrist. We have an immigration court coming up. I'm a U.S. citizen. She is not. And it's a battle we've been going through because of, you know, past lives where she has a record for the same thing. You know, while she was on all this medication, she would do things that she wasn't supposed to. And I was able to convince the judge to give her another court date, which they did. And just like I thought, you know, the psychiatrist figured that she shouldn't have been on the medication she was on. And it made her a little, you know, unstable. So they took her off. All the medication last thing she was on was Wellbutrin. And, you know, once they took her off of that, they said, you know, she wasn't going to be 100%, but she was going to be okay. And this was, you know, depression-wise, you know, that she was going to be okay. Well, that was back in 2016. Since then, you know, she tried committing suicide. She jumped out of my vehicle on 95. She did not, you know, she was not successful, thank God. And you know, ever since we've been going through this like episodes, she'll come in and out of this thing this mode where she's really mean, awkward.
Okay.
She says things that have no common sense.
I've got to go to a break here. Okay. You hear the music there. So hold on. We'll get the rest of this and try to give you some help. You're listening to New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be here for 3 hours. 2.5 more hours now. 1-800-229-3000. So what do you think? Medication of the devil? Or it could be a gift from God?
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterman from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. We're talking with Joe, and he really wants his wife on medication. But when she was on medication before, there were some adverse effects there. So, Joe, what is the specific question for us? Do you have a specific question you could ask us?
You know, we move by faith alone. And, you know, if you pray enough and if your faith is strong enough, you shouldn't need a doctor. And I just disagree. And it's really hard because I agree with everything else that, you know, they teach, you know, according to our Bible and the Word of God. But when it comes to medication, there's a gray area, especially in the Spanish community. There's no such thing as, you know, someone being crazy or depressed. You know, according to them, you know, God cures everything. And I believe that. And I truly believe that. But I truly believe that this is why God gave, you know.
You believe that. Did you say that you believe God cures everything?
Yeah, he does cure everything. I believe so, but I also
I don't think that that's true. I don't think that that's true. If that were true, no one would die. So God doesn't cure everything. And if that were true, no Christian man would ever go crazy, you could say, flip out, kill himself, kill somebody else, do damage to someone else. There's just nothing true about what you're saying. It's not true. And there are people that try to believe that, and they live a very frustrated life, and they also confine themselves to a certain level of existence where healing is possible, but they don't ever get the help that might facilitate that healing. For instance, if my brain doesn't work because it's not medicated properly, then I never get to deal with the issues because my brain can't handle the issues. I can't see them. I can't respond to them appropriately if I never get the medication, if my brain needs medication.
I have the same.
So does, yeah, go ahead.
I have the same kind of perspective in a way, Steve, that take Alzheimer's disease, where we don't really in medicine have the cure yet. And it's spiritually and humanly tragic, but we believe in salvation, and that's assured. But spiritually, there's a long way to go in terms of healing and having a victorious life here on earth, if that's what God's wanting. But when it comes to medicine, it gets very complicated. With Joe's issue, he brings up a lot of frustrations in mental health care. One is that people have the legal right to refuse care. We're doing things to try to get the legal profession to help us with that, and they're getting more complex in how they think of this. Something called Laura's Law just came into effect, where people who constantly refuse and are in danger because of non-treatment, the judges can order psychological or mental health care. They can't necessarily dictate medicine treatment, but they can assist people in getting into professional care, which a lot of times helps. And Joe's talking about the Hispanic church to some degree. Any minority church, we're having a lot of issues of wanting to get education out to the cultures, because it's just an idea of they just don't have the acculturation to take in the science yet, and a lot of churches are trying to help us with this in getting science into this.
You were commenting, Tom, about during the break that they probably are treating the wrong thing in treating depression.
Yeah, well, depression, when we talk about treating depression, depression is a big word with many, many different meanings. We don't have an antibiotic that kills one bug that caused depression. It's multiple different causes, multiple different types, and sometimes we find out as time goes on a certain medicine isn't the right thing and we have to change it. But that's part of the medical process, just like it is in chemotherapy or heart disease. So medical care can be very complex that way, and it just, if you're not in the system and you don't have a doctor that you listen to that works with you on it, it can be very traumatizing.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Now, you know, the Bible is so clear about God standing against arrogance, an arrogant heart, somebody that thinks they only know the truth and other people don't know the truth. Now, think about this. Think about a person who has a high school education and goes to church and believes that someone like you, Dr. Okamoto, is absolutely wrong, that you've committed your whole life to something that is anti-Christian, because they believe that God heals everything and you don't need medicine. Well, you know, Jesus, he could have healed a blind man with no external substance whatsoever, but for some reason, he took some spittle and made mud and applied it. And I always thought that was a great example of him saying that healing can occur many different ways through many different substances.
That was the first medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. But the arrogance of somebody to say that someone like you, Dr. Stoop, who has a PhD in psychology, that you were wrong to go and study that. You should have just studied your Bible more, because everybody who really has real faith is going to be healed. To me, that is flagrant arrogance. Like, I know something that all of these smart people with an MD or a PhD, they don't know, even though they've spent their whole life as a committed, dedicated Christian studying how to reach people in a deeper way. One of the greatest people that ever walked the face of this earth is Dr. Thomas Guanamutu from India. He was an MD, Christian MD, went back to medical school at like 60 or something because he wanted to help people with emotional problems in a deeper, richer way, and became a psychiatrist. These people are not stupid people. They're not confused. They believe in Christ. They believe in the power of healing. But they also understand we live in a fallen world. And sometimes it's more than faith that God uses to heal a person. So we've got to be realistic in all of this. Let me send you a copy of this book I wrote, Toxic Faith. I hope that that's going to help you there. Now let's go to Mandy from Dallas, Texas. Mandy listens on KWRD. Hi, Mandy. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hi there.
A few years ago, my husband had an affair, and I made the decision to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in a sense, he also made that decision to make it work. But we still have troubles, and I'm trying to find out how I can make it on my part. I guess I became hardened. And I'm not sure how to let that go, like, so I can accept him fully as I did before.
Okay. When he had the affair, what did he do to show you he would do whatever it took to never let that happen again?
Well, he was working away from home 2 weeks at a time. So he quit his job, he was supposed to find another job first, but long story short, he quit his job and found a job closer to home. And that was his career. So I believe that was a big step. We did attempt to go to marriage counseling. Unfortunately, I don't think the person was a right fit for us. And so we, at some point, we quit going. He's tried to be more open. He's just not a very open person.
But other than changed jobs,
that was part of it when we got married.
But other than changed jobs, which that was a good start, you're saying he didn't really do anything to deal with a character defect that led him into the affair. And so.
Correct.
And then it sounds like you didn't get any professional help to help you resolve some of the bitterness, the anger, and the resentment.
And to learn to trust again.
Yeah. So, Dr. Okamoto, what do you think is missing here?
I did go to a counselor that she had personal reasons not to do the marriage counseling based off the affair. But she did help me through some stuff, so I went to individual counseling without him.
But you've hardened against him, see?
Right.
And
we have two kids, and they're both young men. And yeah. I want them to, have a good, solid foundation.
Sure.
I believe marriage, isn't something you take lightly. Anything you can work through, you should try to work through that. And that's why I wanted to stay with him. He came from a broken home. My parents have been married for 40 plus years.
Okay, I want you to hold on. I got to go to a break here. I'm going to go to a break. But this is an example of somebody that, the relationship has been shredded, and you just rely on your own understanding.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids.
hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. And we have Mandy here. Her husband had an affair. And I've just kind of jumped out there again, kind of proclaiming here that too little has been done in the area of healing. Dr. Okamoto, what do you think when you hear this?
Especially with the boys, it's like, boy, something has to happen. He's got to take it and man up to this and make sure that he is doing everything he can to have a change of heart, work through what has maybe his old wounds from his family has kind of let it be okay that he made this choice, and to reassure his wife that it doesn't happen again, and this is why it's not going to happen. He's got to be committed. He's got to show his kids this is how you do it, and this is how you commit to a marriage. Otherwise, his wife can – Mandy can sort of do as much as she can, but it's the guys in the future and their wives that will also be affected. So a lot to do on his side. He needs to step up.
And it's true. Yeah, and I just wonder how willing he is. Dave, any thought here?
Well, unless he gets into the process, as Tom is saying, nothing much is going to change. I wonder why you didn't stay with marriage counseling, or at least move with somebody else if you didn't feel comfortable with them, because you're going to individual counseling was good. It might have been good if he had gone to individual, but somehow you got to get on the same page with each other, and that means you got to be in a counseling situation.
Well, the marriage counselor we went to, for whatever reason, he thought that he basically told me that this is your fault. You either accept it and move on. He's not ever going to admit anything that you haven't already found out, because there were actually several women. They were, as far as I know, not physical affairs, but emotional, and it's all in the same sense to me.
It's still a betrayal.
Getting time elsewhere, and
but how can a counselor
went a little deeper? But
how can a counselor say that it's all your fault? I mean, he made the choice to cross the line.
That's why I bailed. He said because I wasn't emotionally available for him when I needed him.
You might not have been emotionally available. And that might be the reason there was a problem, but that's not why affairs happen, because people can
–
there are about 1,000 different options.
I made the decision that this counselor is not – that just made it worse. Like
you made the right decision, Mandy, too. But
you sure did.
You need to get somebody else.
Okay. So I just can't encourage you enough to try to get him and you at least to get back into some counseling. And I would do it this way. I would say, honey, we've kind of gone stale here, and there's more growth we need to do. There's still some wounds there, and I need you to step up and lead us out of this. Now, you can get counseling. We'll find one for you. Or the marriage intensive that we're doing in September is another. I mean, people like you come to these things, and it changes everything.
It's right in Dallas, too.
And it's right there. And so let's see if we can't get a scholarship for you two. It would be a sad thing for this to come to your town and for you not to go. Anybody else, you know, let me give you the exact date of that. It's the Marriage Intimacy Intensive, September the 21st in Dallas. We're going to have Every Man's Battle in Houston. So we're really trying to clean up Texas over there in the two big major metropolitan areas. Every Man's Battle is the 7th. That's just right around the corner. And then Intimacy in Marriage is 21st. It'd be great if he could go to every man's battle. Whenever you have an affair, you need to say to the person you hurt, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be sure that this isn't going to happen again. And that is more than just I'm going to read my Bible or I'm going to pray more, whatever, which we hear all the time. Also coming up, Dave, is our Life Recovery Conference, October the 6th. You want to talk about that a little bit? We've had such a great experience with these in the past.
Well, Jeff was asking me, who is it for? And it's really for anyone who is dealing with a problem in their life, because it's the recovery process is like a discipleship process. But it's especially for those who are in recovery and or who are thinking about getting in recovery for any kind of issue, and those who are in leadership roles within recovery programs. So it's a wide spectrum. We've got some great speakers as well as Steve and myself, and it's a great day, and you get lunch and part of your registration fee.
Well, we always hear people say their expectations have been exceeded when they come, and if maybe you don't even know how 12-step work could be Christian, you know, you think that, well, it's just something that doesn't sound right to you for whatever reason, this would be a great day for you to find out how the steps are built around Scripture, how they were started around Scripture, and how you can apply them to your own life. The slogan for Life Recovery is that they are 12 steps for anybody, 12 steps for everybody, and they really do transform people's lives. That's going to be October the 7th. You can find out about that at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It doesn't matter whether you like 12 steps or not, whether or not you need a workshop or a counselor, we just want you to call us and let us help you. There's so many folks with so many ideas about a quick fix or an instant solution. Jeremiah 6:14 says that they treat the deep mortal wounds of my people with superficial treatments. Let's see, that was going on a couple of thousand years ago, and it's still going on today, and we heard some of that today. And let me tell you, the work that needs to be done in a fallen world is not fun. It's not enjoyable. But look, what are you going to do? Are you just going to struggle and suffer every day? Or are you going to decide, okay, let's do some soul-transforming work so that on the other side of it, on the other side, there's freedom and there's hope rather than me having to settle. And here's the other thing. If you're one of these folks that thinks Christians shouldn't have any problems, you're going to a church where everybody's faking it when they do have a problem. That's horrible. That's not the way it is. If it was the Garden of Eden and you were going to the first church of the garden, you know, nobody'd have any problems until somebody ate an apple. But it's a fallen world outside the garden, and that's why we need all the help that we can get. And God has blessed us with some brains to figure out how to solve some really, really tough problems. And if you haven't opened your life up to whatever help is available, you have to ask yourself why. Because the people that I work with that might use medication, might use counseling, might use something that is a result of research, those are not stupid people. They are committed Christians, and they want to help people. But they're also aware that science does not have to eliminate the power of God, nor does our belief in God need to eliminate what we know from science. So if you are struggling, we want you to call us, and we want you to get some help. It is never too late, and it's never too early. Now, for us to do this, we need your help. And some of you, maybe you've been listening, and you've thought, well, I've never really supported a ministry. If something that I'm saying is resonating with you, I can guarantee you it's not resonating with everybody, because people want to believe kind of in a magical world where all we have to do is have enough faith and everything goes away. But if you resonate with what I'm saying, could you help us? Could you support us? A gift of any amount. I'll send you this book on narcissism. All you have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to join us on the next program with Dr. Okamoto and Dr. Dave Stoop, 1-800-229-3000. Come join us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.